Casey Cox is a sixth-generation farmer. She's 27 years old and returned to Camilla, Georgia, in the southwest part of the state, to carry on the tradition after graduating from the University of Florida in 2013. But with her decision to stay in the farming lifestyle came added pressure.
I don't want to be the generation that loses the farm. I don't want to be the person that has to sell the farm and move away because I couldn't manage it properly. I want to be a good steward of this land and the business that my family has spent generations building.
It's that commitment to the land and her family's legacy that make recovering from events like a hurricane or a trade war a necessity. Cox says such big obstacles can leave young farmers like her feeling helpless.
Young farmers, I think in particular, are vulnerable to some of this because it is discouraging. It's like, okay, is this how my whole life is going to go with all of these different challenges, and how am I going to be able to address this?
Ted Matthews is the director of Minnesota Rural Mental Health. He travels around the state talking with farmers about just that.
With farming, it's a way of life. It is not an occupation. So to tell them, why don't they sell their cows, or why don't they sell their land, or why don't... That's like saying, why don't you cut off my arm?
Brian Hayes understands this. He works in Mitchell County with the University of Georgia Extension Services. Hayes meets with farmers to offer tips and resources on growing crops more efficiently, but he says now, agents like him are being trained on how to notice a farmer in distress.
Not that we can evaluate you or can stop anybody, but you know, maybe we can see the early warning signs. To say, hey, you know, so-and-so is not doing real good right now. Come talk to me, and there's people that can help you here.
Last year, Georgia received nearly $23 million from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration to be used for community services, an increase of 30% compared to 2017. But Matthew says there are two key steps to take to connect farmers with these programs. The first, overcoming the stigma of the words mental health.
We need to look at mental health as just that, mental health, not mental illness. There's something going on, there's something I need to deal with, I need to get healthier, and not there's something wrong with me and I have to be fixed.
The second, building trust.
You know, a farmer doesn't like people they don't trust or they don't know. And so the important thing is that the rural mental health people come to them and not the opposite.
That's what Charlotte Austin is trying to do. She works with Georgia Pines, a behavioral health organization in the southwest part of the state.
That is challenging. I think a lot of times we really try to go out and build relationships with people and just let them know, you know, we are here to help.
Austin helps run the Georgia Recovery Project. It's a crisis counseling program born out of the destruction caused by Hurricane Michael and funded with a grant from the federal money the state received that sends people with shared experiences to inform farmers about resources available to them. Back at her farm, Casey Cox walks uphill from the muddy bank of the Flint River. In the distance, men try to salvage timber for market from longleaf pine trees that toppled over during the hurricane. She says lack of access and complicated health care plans make it challenging for people who may want to seek help. But in her case, Cox says she finds peace in the land her family has worked and lived on for generations.
There's certainly a connection to nature that we do have on the farm that's very different than in an urban center. And that is really powerful. When I need some time or when I'm feeling anxious or stressed, I spend as much time as I can outside.
Cox says she also relies heavily on the farming community around her. For GPB News, I'm Ross Terrell in Atlanta.